ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 हरे कृष्ण। The deity is being dressed, or there's an offering going on. If not, then we could have darshan. Is it? They're being dressed. So, where's our translator? He's also the pujari.
He is everything.
He's from Tokyo.
Yes. It's really because of him that new people are coming too. He has these Bhagavad Gita classes at his house.
He's the dynamo.
It's going
you can translate?
No.
I think you could do it. Oh, Madhu Mangal has come. The all in all. And he's Pujari, preacher, translator, life and soul of the party. But in this party there's no wine or other items common at other parties. What's your name?
Narayana.
So I've given a very harsh instruction to Narayana. You have to translate this. Is it? Well, maybe if there's only one person who needs translating for.
Nitai,
you can follow me.
Yeah, and actually, Alina needs to hear Japanese too. She understands Japanese better than English.
I see. All right. Okay. So are you going to sit here?
The list of books.
Okay. Thank you. I've given a very harsh instruction to Narayana. Of course, I can't give any instruction to Narayana. He has to give instruction to us. But you have to give the numbers of each book also.
Yes.
But are you sure what it is? Because I have some here.
Available.
So now you've got them mixed up.
Available books. Number
one. No. You see, I brought some books. And you brought some books.
You brought only two books.
No, but before that, so many other books of mine were here also. I brought two from.
This one I have brought. These are.
Yeah. So make a list of the books that you brought, so that
we'll not mix. Yeah.
We'll mix them and then we'll unmix it afterwards. Okay. Yes. Sorry for the interruption. Of course, many people in this world are named Narayana, especially in India, they're named Narayana, pious people. So this Narayana may be pious enough also to accept my instruction, even if it's a very harsh one, because it's meant for the ultimate good of Narayana, so that he may make progress on the path toward Narayana. Narayana was planning to leave.
When?
He has to attend a birthday party for a young child of devotee, and he has two children also to see. So I cited Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who told one man that you should go on hearing Krishna Katha always. And even if you say that, well, my son is about to die, still you should not leave, you should go on hearing. So this seems to be extreme. I mean, if my son's dying, at least I should go to see him. Then I can come back and hear Krishna Katha some other time. And if I go to see my son, I could chant Hare Krishna when he's passing away. So anyway, you can go if you like.
No.
Sorry, I'm really not trying to embarrass you. It's not my intention. I'm just trying to emphasize or discuss a point. In this world, among cultured people, there's generally an endeavor to do things in a nice way. Whatever we're doing in interactions with others, we can do in a nice way, in a neutral way, or in a overtly harsh way. You know, overtly means openly, showing. Like that. I can speak to you like that. Mm. Or I can speak to you like this with no expression on my face. Or I can do it smiling and nice. So naturally, if someone speaks to us in a smiling, in a nice way, then we feel better. And if people say things to us in a formal manner without any expression, then we often don't even notice the person.
Even
if someone says something to us just in a formal way without any expression, we may not even notice them. We may not even observe that the person is there. Just like if you everything's done by machine nowadays, but there used to be a time when you could buy tickets for a train from a person behind the counter. Still you can do that? When you buy a train ticket, you can buy from a person, or you have to buy from the machine.
From machine.
From the machine.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's some official at the train station who you can ask some question, which train, how to go to the train.
Yeah.
Some inquiry.
Inquiry book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can ask, and they may ask, which platform is this train, and say, platform 3, and they don't need, you know, it's just completely formal, without... He doesn't smile, doesn't look at you, doesn't think of you. It's just, he's acting like a machine.
Right, right.
Just like yesterday, I came in and at the immigration, just complete formality. The person, there was no attempt to be nice or any such thing. So that's kind of cold, and it leaves you, you may not even notice it, but after some time if everyone is acting in a very impersonal way, which is the norm in Japan, it seems, then our heart starts to become cold.
Mm.
But in Japan, at least, there's some culture of formal politeness.
Mm.
Of course, in every culture, there's also the vulgar side. I happen to see in a book with how for English people how to learn Japanese vulgarities. There's a book upstairs, I don't know who put it there. Out of all the swear words. Not a good book, I just opened it, it's not a good book for sannyasis. English to Japanese. Spanish, sorry, not Spanish, what is Spanish? Japanese swear words. So, if you want to insult someone in a very vulgar way, every language has this also. But polite people, they don't use those kind of words. So generally it's among devotees and sadhus, we try to act in a nice way. See, I'm smiling. And generally we think that sadhu is someone that smiles. The stereotype of a sadhu is someone who smiles and holds a flower, and if he has a long beard, so much the better. However, Srimad Bhagavatam gives a different idea of a sadhu. You have the word sadhu in Japanese? Similar word.
Yes, similar.
But it will have Japanese overtones, Japanese cultural idea, not exactly the same idea.
Not like living amongst us now, kind of. Before.
That's the problem with language. I was in Thailand for some time, and all the philosophical terms you want to use all have Buddhist meanings to them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's better everyone knows in Sanskrit. But even in Sanskrit, sadhu is all, that's what I'm talking about. There's the, there's the misconception. The word sadhu, guru, yoga, bhakti, these are all from Sanskrit. And everyone in India knows them, but they all misunderstand them. So just like in India, everyone thinks, oh, bhakti, oh yeah, bhakti, I know what bhakti is. But to actually understand, we have to hear regularly from genuine sadhus. And most people are not ready to hear. There are too many other important things to do. Or even if they make a show of hearing, they don't really hear at all. They like to hear from sadhus who nourish their false ego. If sadhu tells them, you are very nice, they think, oh, this sadhu is very nice. Yeah, but the Bhagavatam, I was going to quote one verse from the Bhagavatam. Tato dursanga utsrija satsu sajeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. One should give up bad association. If one is serious about spiritual life, he should give up bad association. Bad association includes almost all the people who are known as sadhus in India. If we say this again, people may become upset. Just like Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Bombay and talking with this Dr. Patel, well-known name, Gujarat, who was quite learned, apparently. I mean, he knew all the Bhagavad Gita, as he didn't mind telling Prabhupada from time to time. And he made a show of hearing from Prabhupada. He would walk with him. But then whenever Prabhupada said something that he didn't like, he would protest strongly. Dr. Patel would protest. And Srila Prabhupada was not one to simply smile when someone got angry at him. So there would be some big verbal fight often between the two, even though Dr. Patel shouldn't have done that. And one time Srila Prabhupada said that these hippies in the West, they learned all this smoking ganja from, some came to India and saw the sadhus with long hair smoking ganja, then they went back and started the hippie movement. And Dr. Patel exploded. Not literally. Now you have to understand English well. If you literally translate it would unusual. Means he became
angry.
Suddenly very angry. We said it's another meaning of the word explode. Using it as an allegory. How can you say that about our sadhus? So he was not good at hearing because he thought he knew a lot. Most people are not good at hearing. Even pious people who come and hear, they're not good at hearing, most of them. The reason that they're not good at hearing is because they're pious. They have the idea we will come to a sadhu, and the sadhu will bless us, and then all our material problems will go away, and our life will go on very nicely. So this is pious and cultured to have such an attitude. And such people may like to hear, but they like to hear nice stories and a few jokes. And they may like to hear how wonderful is Krishna and how great is Krishna. But that may not penetrate and their piety or their thinking, yes, I'm good, I'm a good pious devotee or Hindu and I'm doing everything, I'm chanting, I'm hearing and I'm good. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, satsu, sajeta buddhiman. Satsu, this means, satsu, sajeta buddhiman, one who is actually intelligent, he is seeking the truth. That is the difference between mundane piety and someone who's actually ready to make spiritual advancement. As long as one is desirous of enjoying this material world, he cannot actually make spiritual advancement. Therefore, a real sadhu is one who speaks in such a way that all the garbage in the heart is cut to pieces. Sadhur evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. This is the statement that the sadhus, they cut all the mental attachments within the heart, or the attachments born of the mind within the heart. Yes, that's right. You got it, yeah. Such sadhus are usually not very popular. Srila Prabhupada was not very popular compared to many sadhus in India. Many people came to hear him, knowing him to be the founder of the worldwide Krishna Conscious Movement. But not many, even though many came to hear him, it appears that not many people heard him. If one actually hears, then he must follow. You're trying to understand what I was saying.
Yeah, I like a wake up.
You see, we think that hearing means simply a... We think that hearing means simply a sound that enters the ear and reverberates within the... what's that called? That passage? The
ear canal.
And is processed within the brain. And we think that seeing means simply some impression that is received on the retina of the eyes and then processed within the brain. When people come to see a sadhu, the sadhu is to be seen by hearing. Shutikshitapata, this is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, the path of seeing by hearing. But most people can't hear. Narottam Das says, Shunile na shuneka, we hear but we don't hear. The ear hears but it doesn't hear.
Yeah, hear.
There's too much wax in the ear. This is allegorical. It's metaphorical. It's metaphorical. It's not allegorical. There's a difference. Yeah. That wax is the covering by which we don't want to hear that which is for our actual benefit. This is a metaphor, not an allegory, to be precise. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that to enable us to hear, we have to undergo the ear-piercing ceremony, the karna bhed sanskar. Ear-piercing ceremony.
Piercing, making a hole
in the ear. Oh. When a child is young, the ear is pierced so that the earring can be put on. A hole is made in the ear. It literally means to make a hole in the ear. So to become eligible to hear, we have to undergo the ceremony of or the transformation of having a hole made in our ear. But this is a different kind of hole in the ear to the one which is for an earring. It's the poking through the false ego so that we can get through to the soul. So the sound, the spiritual sound of the sadhu can connect with the actual ego, with the soul of the recipient. So making a hole in the ear is a very harsh thing to do. Very cruel thing to do. Why should the parents take their child to have the ear pierced? Actually, that's done just by... nowadays, it's done for fashion, so for wearing the earrings and meditating. But in Vedic culture, traditionally, that is done by a doctor, by a surgeon. Because the purpose of putting earrings is not simply for decoration, but it's to be put at a precise point so that there is a physical benefit also. There's acupuncture. Yeah, so it's at a specific point it should be done.
That is connect on the sixth.
I'm not sure exactly. Like for karmis, they wouldn't want that. So,
no control.
It's for various health benefits.
Mm.
They may be pierced in different places also. So the pain is accepted for the sake of long-term benefit. And the parents forcibly take the children. The parents know that it will cause pain to the child. I haven't seen such a thing, but it's expected the child will cry. Just like when the child has their first mundan, or the first shaving, the child inevitably cries, but still the parents do that to the children. And no one protests, no one comes along and says, hey, why are you doing to your children? You're making them cry. Mm. Because it's understood that the parents have the interest of the child at heart, and it's a standard thing that's done for the benefit of the child, even though the child doesn't understand and protests.
Mm.
So the sadhus, they also perform this operation, or similar kind of, or not exactly the same, well, the spiritual operation, by speaking and acting in such a way that the hearer will be benefited, even though it may be painful for the hearer. Actually, the sadhu is the best well-wisher of everyone. But because their intention is misunderstood by materialistic people, those who are actual sadhus are often considered the enemies of humankind. If we see someone speaking, as I was saying at the beginning, if we see someone speaking in a nasty manner, in a harsh manner, we think this person is very uncultured, not a good person. So the sadhu is obliged to speak in a manner that will appear harsh to people who are ignorant of their own real self-interest. What the sadhu has to give is so important that it cannot be restricted simply by the formalities of this material world. Generally we like to deal nicely, but always acting nicely is not always the nicest way to act. Someone may be standing on the street talking to someone, and then someone may just come and push him out of the way. Just standing there talking to someone, standing on the pavement, and someone just pushes him. Say, no, you'd be shocked. Why should someone ever be considered a hostile act? But then if you see that there's a car driving out of control right at that person, and this person's actually saved your life by pushing you out of the way, then you'll be very grateful. What would normally be considered hostile under the circumstances actually becomes a great welfare act. Maybe the person had to risk his own life to do that also. In that circumstance, to say to the person, excuse me, sir, I'd just like to tell you, there's a car coming at you at 100 miles an hour. In the meantime, they'd both be killed. So actually, death is coming at us. The lion of death is coming to gobble us up, eat us. So I say, we may think, well, that's true, but you know, it's not coming that quickly, and still we could discuss it politely. But often, to make the point, we have to make it strongly. The parent may say to the child that, you do this. They may say one time, two times. And then if the child doesn't follow, then the parent should get angry to show that he's serious. Srila Prabhupada said that. He said about his transgressions of his disciples or misbehavior of his disciples. He said, I forgive one time, I can forgive two times, the third time I bring out my shoe. So to cut through that false ego sometimes, or actually often, this apparently unreasonable behavior is necessary. That happened with Srila Prabhupada himself when he first met his eternal, in this lifetime, he met his eternal spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada challenged Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was saying, you're doing all this bhakti and... You see, doing all this and singing and dancing, but India, look at you all around. You see, India's in the bondage of an oppressive nation. We have to throw out the British. What's the use of your ching 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 when the British are oppressing us? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically what Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada's idea was that, well, yeah, this Krishna bhakti, it's good, it's important, but who will listen to the message of Gauranga when we're simply an enslaved people? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that Krishna consciousness is so important, it can't wait for any political adjustment. Pretty much everyone in India at that time, all the Indians at least, would think that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was wrong. But Bhaktisiddhanta, he stuck to the point that Krishna consciousness is important, politics isn't. So he went against the way of thinking of pretty much everyone else around him.
Against Sarang?
Again, can someone explain? Alright, it's explained. So, most people wouldn't want to hear that. In fact, they protested against Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
Yes.
Most people, they don't want to hear what upsets, what they think is right. But the sadhu tells us that everything that you think is right is wrong. Even your so-called piety, which is better than being a Hitler or a Stalin, no doubt, that's also wrong. If you're a good pious Hindu and you don't eat meat and you go to the temples and you pray to God and you don't drink alcohol, you're still in Maya. You're in the illusion of thinking, I'm very good, I'm very nice. But Krishna says, Sarva Dhamman Parityaja, give up all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Even being good and being nice on the mundane platform, it's actually not being good or being nice at all. It's just a sophisticated way of engaging in the same activity that demons do, which is trying to enjoy this material world. So real entrance into Krishna consciousness begins when we can begin to hear. Even if we chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regulated principles, we may not actually have really entered into Krishna consciousness. We find that nowadays in our preaching, we always try to get people come. We try to get them to chant one round, chant two rounds, chant four rounds, become a vegetarian. Yeah, you got it with the dramatics also. So, but we find that Prabhupada, he would preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to people. He didn't. I don't say that Prabhupada asked people to chant Hare Krishna when he met them. He'd speak to them the principles of Bhagavad Gita. So it's not bad to ask people to chant Hare Krishna. I'm not saying that. But real chanting won't begin unless we begin to hear. One devotee told me he'd been chanting Hare Krishna and he'd been initiated and living in the temple for about 2 years when he started to realize that when the devotees were saying that Krishna is actually a person, it wasn't just allegorical. In other words, he remained a committed Mayavadi even quite some time after he was initiated.
Really?
Yeah! I'm not making this up. He really told me that he thought that all the stories of Krishna were just some invented stories and there's no real person is Krishna. Even he was 2 years in the temple. And then he started to realize, oh, actually what they're saying is Krishna's really a person. Sick covering of Mayavad. Yeah.
Not possible.
When you're so pure you can't imagine, but it's possible. And it's not just this one case, there may be many. Even when we're chanting, but the name of Krishna never really enters because there's that thick covering of wax, of misconceptions and material attachments. So that covering of material attachment has to be broken through, and then we can begin to realize that actually I am meant to serve Krishna, and it's not just a theory. That Karna Bhed Sanskar, cutting the hole in the ear, that may come from after hearing for a long time.
Karna Bhed.
Karna Bhed, not Karuna.
Karna.
Just like we see Srila Prabhupada sometimes, he speaks strongly and people get shaken up, but then it would change their lives. Okay. Or it might be that someone they hear after hearing for a long time, the sound might actually penetrate through the coverings of their false ego. Or it might be that your son's dying. Don't go. But this simply trying to present everything nice and being nice, it's almost mundane unless we speak the truth as it is without any watering it down. This stereotype that the Mayavadis have invented of the sadhu just being nice and smiling is bogus. And devotees shouldn't get trapped by this just trying to be a so-called sadhu. But they should be an actual sadhu like Narad Muni, or Prabhupada, Vidura, and others. It's easier to be a nice, it's easy to be a nice so-called sadhu. You smile, other people smile back. And then they feel happy, and then no one's disturbed, and then we talk wonderful things about prema and bhakti, and everyone's feeling happy. But it's all superficial. Yeah. It may be all superficial. I'm not saying in every case. If we actually speak as Shukadeva Goswami speaks, which is what we're supposed to do, then it will be displeasing to many people. Nidra hriyate naktam vivayanina chavayavaha divacharthe hayara jan kutumba varanena va. This is how, is one of the verses with which Shukadeva began his speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, pointing out that materialistic people, they spend their days simply in working hard to maintain their family, and their nights either in sleep or sex,
or sleep and sex.
So if you point these things out, people, they won't like it. Or they will like it if they're actually seeking the truth. So sadhu's endeavor is to put people on the path to the truth, even if they don't want it, which most people don't. Okay, well, I could speak more about this, but everyone has to go. I could speak more, but everyone has to go. And translators also getting worn out, struggling. It's not such an easy thing to translate. Well, thank you very much for your noble effort in translating. All right, so shall we finish there? Does anyone have any questions? I think Narayan is getting calls from home. What happened?
Nothing.
Didn't go to the birthday party. Congratulations. I'm not going. Actually, I don't like this idea of birthday parties. The way it's done now for children, it's just celebrating their body, actually. Puts them in the body of concept. Right? If they want to do it, they should do it the way Nanda Maharaj did it for Krishna. They invite the brahmanas and feed them and give gifts to them and perform a sacrifice. Instead of this happy, was it Hare Krishna to you? And they should do it in a Krishna way. I mean, they try and more or less do it in a mundane way and Krishnaize it. But better to do it is to do it in the way that Nanda Maharaj did it. Then we have Hare Krishna Christmas and everything. Anyway, is there any question, comment, or protest before you all take prasad? Yes, please. Mr. Kane, is it?
Vikas.
Kane.
Vikas Kare.
Kare.
Kare is surname.
Kare, yeah. Marathi surname.
Yeah. Maharaj, actually, in Japan, in this 1 month, we have done some temple stall. So, is it that we have
to... What do you mean? Can you explain that?
We put some stall on some Karmi festivals, like Namaste India festival is there.
Yeah, and you put a bookstall for selling Prabhupada's books.
Yeah.
Very good, thank you very much. Please do it.
Thank you. Actually, Maharaj, there are more festivals in future. So when we go to that festival, what should be our appearance? Means we should be on a suit boot and a very polished way, and or we should, you know.
I can't say exactly how you should dress. You have to consider what's best for preaching. What's your purpose in going there? You want to go as a fashion model or what?
No, actually, authority says that if authority says we are suit boot and
what's the purpose?
Purpose is
to sell Prabhupada's
preach them, books. Sell Prabhupada's books, make them devotees.
So whatever's best for doing that.
Uh-huh.
And there may be various considerations also.
Hmm.
Generally, I like to promote wearing devotee clothes as much as possible. And in the West now, it's more and more devotees are wearing devotee clothes for distributing books and finding it's good. There was a time when wearing Western clothes facilitated book distribution, but it seems that wearing devotee clothes is more and more facilitating because many people are there, as Prabhupada said, people are eager to get these books, so that's actually happening now. And so if you're dressed as a devotee distributing books, then people immediately know what it is. You don't have to pretend to be anything different. And some people go away, and those that stay will usually take a book.
Hmm.
So we find, I've been asking devotees for the last few years in Europe to distribute books in devotee clothes, and their results, they find it's the same, usually it's the same or a little better. And it depends where they go also. If mm-hmm. they go in a very rough, shooter-like area, then the score may be better if they may distribute more books if they're not in devotee clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to see. For preaching, we can make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as, you see, Srila Prabhupada, he said that devotees, they could go in kami clothes, but he said they should still have tilak.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still people know you are devotee.
There is Durga Puja, Maharaj, actually.
That's for the Bengalis, mostly.
Yeah, it's there in here, very big way.
Is it?
And Diwali also, Diwali.
Yeah, these are all kami festivals. I mean, yeah. But you can, if you can utilize it, you can sell some Bengali books.
Yes.
I have CDs in Bengali. I mean, lectures, but I only bought two here. I can speak Bengali also.
There is one devotee here, Ram Prabhu. He is Bengali devotee. Ram Prabhu?
Mm-hmm.
Ram Prabhu.
If you go to Durga Puja, you should go in dhoti, obviously. Yes. Isn't it?
Yes, surely. Next week it is there, next week.
Speak a few words of Bengali also. Ekta boy neben, you can say in Bengali. Will you take a book? I'll take it. Ekta boy neben, hello boy. Khub sundar boy. Ekta nen. Anyway, now I'm giving you the lines for selling books in Bengali.
Ekta boy neben.
Dekhun boita. Have a look at the book and see it. Alright, anything else? I think we're getting a bit late here. To be honest, we're a long way. Yes.
Like as you said that we have to present it as it is, and sometimes it may be heavy. But generally we see the tendency that maybe I'm not talking of advanced devotees, but as far as we are concerned, like an aspiring stage of becoming a devotee, so we have a tendency to go either become like preach in a too fanatic way or become too mellow.
What does too fanatic mean? What does it mean to be too fanatical?
Means like
if we say that Krishna is supreme and we should surrender to him, that may sound extreme, but that's a fact. If we speak the truth, how can it be fanatical?
But sometimes, like even if I speak, like either my personal, I may not be very very convinced, or maybe not following exactly what it should be.
If you don't follow exactly, then better not to preach. If you're trying to tell, Prabhupada gave that example of someone telling others not to smoke, but he himself is smoking, then it won't be effective. But if we say Krishna is supreme, we should surrender to him, then what's wrong with that? Is that fanatical? I don't. What do you mean by fanatical? Can you give an example of what you mean by fanatical?
Like I may be saying, like as I mentioned, that I may be saying many things, but I may not be.
Could you give like a more explicit example? I'm trying to understand what this means, fanatical preaching. We should speak according to Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Like for example, in Japan, like we go to many festivals, and they are not necessarily ISKCON festivals.
Yeah, but for selling books, you have to find the technique of doing it. That doesn't mean when we're selling books, we're not trying to convert people on the spot. We're just trying to get them to take the book. But even in selling books, it may be sometimes expert devotees can preach in a way that makes people change. Just like I was reading, there one Mataji in America, she was selling books, and one man who was very much overweight. She approached him and says, "Oh, I don't have any money, I can't buy your book." And she told him, "Well, you should eat less and then you'd have some money to buy the book." You're supposed to laugh while you're doing puja. So I showed a little harsh words there. Anyway, he was shocked and he bought a book. So couldn't argue with that. I mean, I guess he could, but he was so shocked that someone was so impolite and straightforward. Mm. I don't know exactly what happened in his mind, but he took a book. He actually had money, but he was thinking to spend it on eating, probably.
Actually, Maharaj, in Japan,
yeah.
In Japan, people lose a lot of superficial expressions and
yeah, everywhere. But in Japan, it's deeply part of the culture.
Yeah.
Politeness covers up a lot of hatred, and you're smiling, but actually don't care about that person at all.
Mm.
In America, it's become part of the culture also. That I guess it's all because of these things like how to win friends and influence people. You pretend you like the person or you're interested in them because you want to get something from them, and that's probably inculcated by the businesses and all this.
Yeah.
They say if there's good dealings, we deal with others nicely, then the business will run better. So they deal nicely, but they're not really interested in the other person. They just do it because it's good for their career or good for making more profits. A few years ago, I was seeing in America, everyone, whenever you go in the shop or whatever, they all smile at you. So I was saying, "Oh, smile, that's why I smile." So I was at a check-in counter, and the woman was smiling. I just looked her right in the eyes, and she couldn't look in the eye, because the smiling was from the lips only, it wasn't from the heart. It's just for their job, that's all, they have to do that. It's all superficial. So, of course, well, we're talking about fanatical preaching. This very lecture might be considered, definitely in much of ISKCON, it would be considered fanatical.
No,
No, it's a fact, I know. Because I'm a member of ISKCON and I travel here and there. But I see some of that superficiality entering our society also. Previously I would say fanatical, I wouldn't say fanatical, but many of our devotees, you could say immature. Well-meaning, but immature. But nowadays that's been replaced to a large extent by not very well-meaning and not caring either. We talk about caring for devotees, but it doesn't just mean buying them a band-aid when they get a cut. There's a lot more to it than that. And it doesn't And sometimes, you know, you can talk so long and discuss problems, this, that, inside out, upside down. It doesn't make a heck bit of difference. But sometimes people, they need some harsh words. And if they can't take it, that means that they're not sincere, actually. So then what's the use talking with them? This counseling, you know, sometimes I see it goes on days and days and days, but they just don't want to tell the person that you're a nonsense, which is what he really needs to hear. You're in Maya. Get your act together. Instead, they try to be nice, this, that. It drags on and on and on, and just get more and more on the mental platform, which is where you don't want to be. Oh, we lost our translator.
Actually, Maharaj, I try to do book distribution in train also, but authority told it that JR train, you know, they may went against us because we are troubling their customer or something like that. So I stopped in train also.
You mean here in Japan?
Yeah.
Authority means who? I mean, there's only three people here. So.
Security on the train.
Security on the train, right? Is it?
No. Devotees told me not to do so. I was just caught up what to do. Because when I go to my job, I try to do book distribution. But I couldn't do anything. I was just jam-packed.
Well, you can give up your job and be a full-time book distributor. How about that?
After 1 year, I'll do. But yeah. I have to earn some money for my parents. Then I'll. But in Japan, I don't know.
Anyway, you'll have to discuss it with local devotees. I don't know all the ins and outs and all the details of the situation here. Do your best.
Yes, Maharaj.
And work under the guidance of those who are more experienced also.